Hey, what is up, everyone, and welcome to the Tailgate Sports Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tanner Johnson. To me, as always, is Ricky Scott.
What's up?
Hey, Ricky.
Tanner, it's been a while.
It has been a while, but yeah, we're getting back to it twice a week. We're working on some exciting stuff for you guys. It's been a lot of work for us, and you know, relevant to you guys is we're going to hopefully start rolling out some interviews with some head coaches, give them spotlights on their experiences and those things. So be please look forward to that in the coming weeks. We are a two-man small business, so please show us some support by rating, commenting, subscribing, and sharing. We are working really hard to get these things out to you as much as possible on a consistent basis so you guys can have that consistency in your life, you know? It's always nice to have your favorite podcasts come out when they're supposed to. So, yeah, definitely give us a follow on our social media on TikTok at Tailgate Sports Podcast and Instagram at Tailgate Sports Podcast 24. And Ricky, what are we doing today? You know, the regular season for the NFL just finished up.
Your favorite.
My Titans got the number one pick.
I hate you. You would bring that up. Sore spot.
Yeah. Yeah, it was only like 2 weeks ago that the Raiders had it. Now we're staring at the Titans, number one overall.
Mark Davis put out a statement. He's like, oh, he spoke to Antonio Pierce and said, worry about wins and not draft placement. So kind of like, you know, a thing to save his ass, I guess. Yeah. Fans are pretty upset, trust me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it could look like the Titans fire their head coach, man. It was that bad. I mean, their offense was incoherent the entire season. He was brought in to fix that. Their defense was scrappy at times, but you can tell they just got disheartened the longer into games they get.
Mr. Mayo, he looks terrible.
Oh, man, he looked competent for like a 4 week stretch, and then he had another meltdown. Like, damn.
I mean, there's no way that, you know, Ridley should be looking that bad.
Oh, man. No. To start the season, I went through their entire schedule and went, you know, I see like six wins for sure. And they got half that.
Yeah.
They were competitive. I mean, they should have beaten the Bears. 100%. They should have beaten the Bears. But I'm glad they didn't. I mean, number one pick. Look towards the future. Either take Travis Hunter and be smart, or also be smart and trade back and don't take a quarterback. Don't be an idiot.
I think you should trade back and get another possible first-round pick this year and maybe two next year. You know, some people are going to be desperate for some quarterbacks. I don't know how desperate you guys are, but
I want to hear what it's like closer to the draft, just because I know the NFL isn't as high on this quarterback draft, this quarterback class specifically. No one blames them.
It's the best.
They're all second-round quarterbacks right now at best. They all need to develop in major ways in order to at least be taken seriously in the NFL. So,
but in true Titans form, I hope they take a quarterback and they, you know, mess it up like they did last time. Or the past two times.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that the ownership doesn't step in and tell them, take your quarterback. Because if I was a GM, I would say, okay, I'm scouting the next 3-4 years of quarterbacks, and I am planning out meticulously what I am going to do. If the quarterback class in 2 years is out, I am targeting that one. I'm building my whole team up, doing whatever I can, targeting that class to then take my quarterback. I'm not forcing the issue on a class that, you know, it's mediocre.
Yeah, I agree.
Mediocre to bad. But
the funny thing about it is I think one of these late round quarterbacks will probably be better than the early round, first round quarterbacks.
Definitely. It's just like it feels like one of those classes that a majority of the back half of the quarterbacks taken will just be career backups that are just 10, 15 years in the NFL, like Chad Henne. Like, they're just taken. They're smart. They're professional. They come and work, and they're capable in spot starts, but they're not long-term franchise guys.
I think Quinn Ewers will be a nice journeyman, like Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy did some teams some justice, I guess. I mean, yeah. The Redskins really. And I think he did pretty good with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
He was drafted by, what, the Browns?
Yeah. Colt McCoy was such a fantastic college quarterback, though. I mean, the year he came out, he was the entirety of that Texas team.
Yeah.
And you saw the cliff that fell off.
A lot of injuries.
But I figured we could, you know, college football playoffs going on. We could kind of chat about that a little bit today.
Your favorite, what are you thinking? College.
So, I got to say, the first round, Clemson, Texas, SMU, Penn State, Indiana, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Tennessee. I feel like none of those were really competitive.
Yeah, I would say that at the least. They were pretty terrible games.
But I think Texas should have lost to Clemson.
No, they did lose to... Oh, you think they should have lost to Clemson? I'm talking about, I'm jumping ahead.
They should have lost. They should have lost to Clemson, and they should have lost to ASU. Texas feels like the worst team in the playoff right now. Of the four remaining, they are by far feel like the worst team. Even though on paper, they should be up there with Ohio State.
I think this will. I don't know. This year feels like another Ohio State year, but that's just me.
Oh yeah, if Ohio State doesn't win it, I mean, it's a wash and a waste of a season. The irony is Ohio State's going to win the national championship and they still can't beat Michigan.
Yeah, that's true.
Lose the Big Ten, win the national championship, and lose to Michigan.
That'd be a great season.
Oh my gosh. They'd be forced to keep Ryan Day, but it's so funny.
They want his head over there.
Just the fact that they can't beat Michigan.
There's so many friends that are Ohio State friends and or Ohio State fans, and they're just like, get this guy out of here.
Yeah, I was listening to the NFL Stock Exchange. They were talking about Will Howard. It was kind of their quarterback rankings heading into the college football, like Senior Bowl, playoff, stuff like that. They were talking about Will Howard. They were comparing him with Kyle McCord, their quarterback last year, and how Ohio State realistically only has two serious games every year. Some years, you know, Penn State isn't even a serious game, but it's Penn State and it's Michigan. Those are their two serious games every year. Now, obviously, Oregon's there. They have to take Oregon seriously. But still, as long as they don't turn the ball over, they will beat every single other team in the Big Ten, like not even trying. And so they were talking about how Kyle McCord played the entirety of last year just like, don't screw it up. Like that was just like his whole mentality is don't screw it up, don't screw it up, don't screw it up, don't screw it up. And now that he's at Syracuse, he looks like fucking Baker Mayfield, just slinging the ball everywhere, just with a hose of an arm, just like the ultimate gunslinger at Syracuse, because he has no pressure at all to like not screw it up. And then you saw Will Howard, and I definitely think that Will Howard felt that to start the year. And you saw the entirety of Ohio State, just all their buttholes pucker. Trying not to lose to Michigan. And guess what? They lost to Michigan because they were so freaking nervous.
It's crazy how, not to jump out of playoffs or whatever, how Michigan State, they used to be taken so serious. Like, the rivalry between them, like, they were in the mix with the Penn States and Ohio States. And now they just
with Mark D'Antonio.
Like, overshadow now. They're just like, oh, that's not even a little brother. It's like a step cousin.
Yeah, I agree. I like their new head coach. I think he's really good. I think he was a great hire coming from Oregon State. And I think he just, that program under Mel Tucker or whatever his name was, just fell off the rails because of how dysfunctional it was. And so their hope, it's going to take him a couple of years, but I think they have a chance to come back, especially with transfer portal and a lot more parity across college football. So I just think, like, the four teams left, you got Texas playing Ohio State, then you got Penn State versus Notre Dame. Talent-wise, Texas, Ohio State are the two most talented teams, by far, easily by far, the most talented teams there. Notre Dame, I feel like there's always just going to be a talent gap between Notre Dame and the rest of the actual contenders. And Penn State is relying on Drew Allar and Tyler Warren and Abdul Carter to sing to the three-headed monster to win everything for him.
So speaking of coaches, not to jump out of what you're speaking about, how big do you think the ripple of the new coach at North Carolina? Huge hire.
Who did they hire again? Slipped on my mind.
Patriots quarterback? Or Patriots coach? Bill Belichick?
They hired Belichick?
Yeah.
Sorry, slipped my mind.
Been out of the mix.
Yeah, but he better have some damn good recruiters.
With this guy, I think he'll have the best of everything.
From what I've heard, it's kind of rough to be around him, but if he has great recruiting coaches, then I think he'll succeed.
What kind of ripple do you think it does to the portal? The portal, you think a lot of people are going to jump?
I think you'll definitely see some people like salivate at the opportunity to do that. But I think the vast majority of, like, it's still proven that you still need to recruit at an extremely high level to be considered, like, to be taken seriously. So that's definitely curious to see. I think it definitely makes North Carolina a contender in the ACC already.
Yeah. I mean, he's a, what, 6-time Super Bowl champion head coach?
As a head coach, he has 8 Super Bowl rings, though.
Oh, 8 Super Bowl?
He has 2 as the defensive coordinator for the Giants.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Lawrence Taylor. He was Bill Parcells' defensive coordinator.
I mean, his name alone, I think. So college is all about, like, who's going to get me to NFL? I mean, that's recruiting in itself.
Yeah, and so. I mean,
how much do you think legacy plays a part in it anymore?
I think it's a huge, like, he is still, is one hell of a coach. That hasn't ever been his problem.
No, I'm talking about for being, the students, the kids, athletes.
Like, I think it would be a big pull for their parents as, like, he's recruiting their parents to kind of recruit the kid as well. I think it'll be an excellent developmental program, if that makes sense.
Well, if you heard his pledge is, you know, he's trying to develop the all-around perfect athlete, the student athlete.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to get the big-time recruits ever. Like, he might land one or two occasionally, but I think he's going to do what he did with New England and just develop extremely well.
Yeah. You gotta hear his press conference that he did with when they introduced him as head coach.
Yeah, I got to look at that. I'll definitely look at that. I mean, I'm almost.
The landscape he wants to, you know, put out there for as far as developing these guys, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think alone his name brings.
His name brings a lot of weight.
Yeah, it brings juice. Like, if I was a kid in high school, I mean, yeah, I want to go play for the coach that, you know, got Brady 6 rings.
Super Bowl. Took a 6th round pick and turned him into the greatest quarterback ever.
You got to think about it. He always had his O-line was always one of the best. His defense was always great. I mean, yeah.
Is he pulling both of his sons?
I'm not sure.
To be coaches? And is he taking a Dante Stallworth?
He should take everybody.
Because if that's so, I mean, he's going to gut the Patriots staff.
I mean, I think the Patriots staff is getting gutted already. You know, Gerard Mayo firing today.
He officially got fired today?
Yeah, they fired him.
I'm not surprised.
I mean,
they're going for... watch them go for Liam Cohen.
I kind of don't like that. It kind of ticks me off, you know, because do you really even get to see what that coach is made of after 1 year?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it was more the win today than anything. If they lost, I don't think he gets fired. I think it was a very, like, it's obviously like the fire was on to be that, but they were expected to be that bad was the problem. And I think it was a little, definitely a little trigger happy. He should have at least had one more year.
I agree. Really see if this is what he's going to bring to the table. I mean, I think a lot of personnel issues as well he had this year.
Yeah.
You can't win with the wrong people. How many seasons since they had a marquee wide receiver?
Randy Moss. Julian Edelman is a great dude. Great slot wide receiver, but, I mean, he can't win you a Super Bowl. You have the rest of the offense as well as Tom Brady to do that. And but
tight ends they've had were kind of washed the past few years. Running game hasn't been the same since White retired.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious. I'm watching Liam Cohen for that job. Maybe Todd Monken. If I was in him, I would definitely go after Todd Monken. The Ravens OC?
Slim Pickens out there. I would honestly go after Robert Saleh.
I think Robert Saleh is going to be the DC in Green Bay.
Everybody wants that Dan Campbell.
Or they're going to hire Mike Vrabel.
I mean, that wouldn't be bad either.
I think Vrabel's going to get hired really quick.
Gruden's name is popping up in the mix for a lot of people, too.
Not surprised. But
I honestly think he'd crazy. Be amazing with the Bears.
I don't know. I think he rubbed too many people the wrong way with that whole situation. I think it's just kind of a media fodder thing to get clicks.
I don't think so. I mean, if we opened up half of the world's emails of shit they've said.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was totally the fall guy for that whole situation.
You talk to a lot of players, and they're like, yeah, we've never had any issues with him as far as being racist or, you know.
Yeah. He was literally the fall guy to try and keep the Snyders from having to sell the Commanders. I mean, and it didn't work. That was just
BS locker room talk back in the day. You know, they talked. I mean,
yeah. That's how you talk in a locker room.
You know, but I feel like he's learned his lesson. And I mean, he coached an openly gay player in Carl Nassib, you know?
Yeah, I remember when he came out. It was like he came out right before those emails came out.
Had no issues.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he deserves a chance. I think if the NFL wants to save their ass as far as this lawsuit, they'll give him his shot, drop the lawsuit, move on with the. You know,
Did you see what Tyreek Hill said?
Oh yeah, he said I'm out. I'm done.
I'm done. I don't want to be in Miami anymore.
He pulled himself in the game too.
Dude fucking forced his way to Miami.
So let's recap that real quick before we get back on topic. He forced his way to Miami.
Because the Chiefs
his ex-girlfriend get two rings. You know he was salty about that, by the way.
Oh yeah. He's so pissed that the Chiefs have won two since he's left.
I mean, look at the wide receivers that won rings with him. Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, yeah. It was super shitty wide receivers.
I mean, freaking fuck's his name now. I can't think of it. He's on the Browns wide receiver.
All right. Here's I'm reading an article on NFL.com. It's by Eric Edholm. So here he's working through his deal. After reworking his deal last year, Hill remains under contract for the next two seasons with salary cap hits of $22.7 million in 2025 and $51.9 million in 2026 per over the cap. Hill famously asked out of Kansas City, leading to the Chiefs trading him to Miami prior to the 2022 season. The Chiefs have won two Super Bowl titles since then and are the number one seed in the playoffs this year. And this is the worst statistical season that Tyreek Hill has had since his rookie year.
Well, since that arrest, I feel like he didn't really want to play.
Yeah, I mean, I think it showed. McDaniel's whole offense showed. They are so reliant on Tua being in the game that it makes the offense handicapped to do anything else with anyone else.
You know who had that problem as well? The Cardinals. When Kyler Murray would go out.
Yeah, it's just, you can't be so reliant on a single player that it just cripples your entire team. Like, you can't do that. And his comments came out right after they announced that the GM and Mike McDaniel will be returning for next year.
He said, I'm out.
I saw the Colts were considering firing Steichen and their GM Ballard. But they announced today that they will be returning for one more season.
Good for them. Approve it deal. Approve it year.
I think Chris Ballard's a bad GM, but I think Shane Steichen's a fantastic coach. I think he's kind of like Brian Daboll. If Brian Daboll were fired, he would become a head coach immediately. Again, like they would get a coaching job, at least an OC job.
Do you think any Browns? Other college head coaches make their way to NFL this year?
Not this year.
A.K.A. Deion Sanders?
No. So I genuinely think now that Deion's staying at Colorado.
I mean, I told you that already.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was going to leave, but I was looking at his recruiting class and what he was doing in the portal. I mean, he's committed to Colorado.
Yeah, he had the number one quarterback flip from USC to Colorado.
Yeah, the number two. The number one quarterback signed with Michigan almost immediately. He's from, like, right next to Michigan. Yeah, he signed the number two guy from USC. I saw that. He's competing with the Liberty quarterback for the starting job.
I don't know. USC needs to get somebody.
Yeah, what the fuck's wrong with USC? All their receivers left. Their quarterbacks have all left. You got a backup from New Mexico, and his backup also transferred from New Mexico.
I think, I don't know, the transfer portal shit is just ruining college sports.
It's free agency every year, man.
Yeah. You have no deal with the fucking...
I think that losing every single wide receiver and the fact that you have put three number one overall picks into the NFL and you still can't recruit players.
I think the Branch brothers leaving, I mean, that was a good thing because, you know, one, he can't run routes. I mean, the brother that played defense, he was pretty decent. I'll give him that. Zachariah Branch, he's not a great wide receiver. He's a great punt returner. I'll give you he's a Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, he's a great returner. I don't know if I agree with you as a wide receiver.
He got hype off of all his punt returns the year before, and then got all these crazy NIL deals, and then got thrown into a number one job.
Yeah, it's
and it showed that he's not a number one. He's not.
No, Deuce Robinson was the number one. He should have been at least.
And he didn't play like it either. He's ass as well. He's going to go play for what?
Yeah, he's not a separator though. He never was. He's a big contested catch guy.
They tried to make him run in the Brendan Rice, like all everything that he did.
And that's the problem is, I don't think Lincoln Riley caters his coaching to his players and their skill sets. I think he just has his schematics and he expects them to do it. Because Brendan Rice was a fantastic route runner. He had all the nuance to everything from his dad. And when you get players that aren't that refined into your system, you have to coach them and develop them. And he never did that. He was just trying to plug and play. And I think it was a big eye-opening coming to the Big Ten and seeing, I mean, Washington with a first year head coach and Jed Fish, like they were supposed to be the worst team in the Big Ten, and they were competitive in most of their games. Sure, hell won a hell of a lot more than they should have. I think it's just you need to cater to what you have. That's always been the problem. That's why Ben Johnson is such a fantastic offensive coordinator. He caters his entire play calling to his team and to the matchup that they're facing.
Well, I think Lincoln Riley's time is coming to an end over here.
I think so, too. I think if he has another season like this, he's fired. But I don't know who would want that job is the problem.
I mean, I don't blame Miller Moss for wanting to leave. They kind of they promised him the job, and I think he got the job off of his performance in the Holiday Bowl. I don't think Lincoln Riley was set on him being his starting quarterback the next year anyway until that he had that show out game and he ran with
him. He was hoping to hand it to Malachi Nelson and then he transferred.
But he did himself a disservice too. Malachi could have the keys right now and be balling. I think he prematurely exited because he went to Boise, lost that job.
He's in the portal again.
Yep, to another team.
What the fuck? Jaden Rashada entered the transfer portal? Sorry. So Georgia, we're talking, this is relevant for Georgia. So Jaden Rashada had a, do you know his story?
No.
He's super interesting. He's currently suing Billy Napier in the University of Florida because he originally committed to Miami for like some outrageous amount of money. It was like $9 million, like something stupid out of high school. And they backed out of it. And in their contract, they were given the rights. Both parties could back out of it at any point. And so University of Miami or the donor that was giving this money for the NIL deal backed out of it because they didn't think he was fully committed. And so he turns to the University of Florida and right with Billy Napier and who coached his ass off this year. I gotta give props to Billy Napier. Has had the most difficult schedule in college football. and still was somehow beating teams. Him recruiting DJ Lagway saved his job, but he was promised $7 million by the University of Florida and Billy Napier, and has like these extensive text history saying money's coming. And then last second before he signs anything, it falls through. And so he's left without a school. And so he quickly signs with ASU and his ASU starter as a freshman. And as soon as the season's over, enters the transfer portal and transfers to Georgia, where I thought he was going to be their second string quarterback because he was really good. As a freshman, showed a lot of promising things as a freshman. He was really good to go behind Carson Beck and watch and learn how to be an accurate pocket passer, except he was their third string quarterback. And I thought that was kind of weird, but he just announced that he's going into the transfer portal to leave for a starting job as a junior. And I got to be honest with you, I was kind of high on him potentially coming out this next year for the draft, because he showed a lot of promise. I mean, he was a top five quarterback recruit. He has yet to commit. He entered today.
I mean, back to that's crazy. See, transfer portal and these NIL deals are ruining college football.
Yeah, he entered today. And while most people are committing today and getting on campus,
but isn't it not final until they actually attend a class?
Until they're officially enrolled, yeah. So some players have already signed all their paperwork to go there. And those players would then lose eligibility if they decide to cancel that. Because their eligibility is...
They could still go to a different school.
They can still go to a different school, but their eligibility is tied to the school that they signed all the papers for. So they would essentially be deferring their eligibility to a different year.
Man, Dylan Raiola needs to leave Nebraska.
I think he just loves... What's his face? He loves...
What? Todd Rule? What's his name? Rule or whatever?
Matt Rule.
Yeah, Matt Rule.
Yeah, Matt Rule. He just loves fucking Matt Rule, man.
I mean, I'd like to see him leave too. Come on over to California. We got the
Matt
waves.
Rule would be awesome for USC. I gotta tell you that. That would be an awesome hire.
I mean, I think Dylan Raiola has a lot of talent, flashed a lot of skill.
Oh, yeah. He's trying to be Patrick Mahomes.
Even if Lincoln Riley got him. He's that quarterback whisperer, you know.
Yeah, I just, man, I'm nervous about that. I think he would make a lot of mistakes because he would try and be Caleb Williams, and he would try and be used like Caleb Williams.
I agree. He'd literally just roll out the playbook from Caleb Williams.
Yeah, his problem, Rail's problem, is that he kind of has that gunslinger. I don't know. He's trying to be Patrick Mahomes on every play. It's just what, like, every kid nowadays does.
You think he should focus on his own game, but utilize those tools that he's learned from Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah. So when the play breaks down, that's when you use it.
Yes.
And he just, I don't think he will.
I think he's super talented.
He is. Like, that's his problem, is that he's so overly talented that he's going to, it can hurt him. So I want him to just be careful.
I like
Malachi Nelson hasn't committed.
No, I don't think
anywhere
so.
Yet.
I don't think the Branch brothers have committed yet either. They want to go to the same school.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
No, no. Like, sorry. I told you, their heads are bigger than what they assume. Great punt returner, terrible wide receiver. I mean, the wide receiver.
Zachariah Branch to Georgia.
Oh, he's
committed
Georgia?
Today. Yeah, that's huge for Georgia. For he'll be the best receiver that Georgia's had since George Pickens.
Who, Zachariah Branch?
Yeah.
He's too
they don't
small
have good
that,
wide receivers.
For the SEC, bro.
They don't have he good wide receivers, man.
He struggled against mediocre cornerbacks in mediocre conferences.
I think we saw... So... mediocre cornerbacks in the Big Ten. That's a bit of a stretch. I'll cut you off there. That's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, but even those runaway games that we had, he wasn't separating from those corners.
No, I think it was poor coaching. I'm curious to see what he does. I think that's huge to actually showcase against arguably the top competition.
And if he falls into that depth chart, we'll be having the same conversation.
I don't know if he falls in that depth chart, though.
He's like,
they got nothing. They really don't have anything.
And it's as of right now, they don't.
It's pretty bleak, man.
I mean, Georgia's still a top destination for a lot of these kids.
Recruiting-wise, yeah. Well, defensively, they don't recruit receivers well. That's not one of Kirby's strengths.
But I don't know. I'm not high on them. I don't know why you're so high on them. Their route running, or his route running is... I like the brother. I'll give you that.
Well, what position does his brother play?
Huh? I think he's a corner or a safety or something like that. He's a DB. He made a lot. He like
Zion Branch committed to Georgia today as well.
Oh, so they both want to go to the same school.
Oh, he's huge.
Yeah, he's a great back.
Zion Branch? Damn. 6'2", 220? 210?
Yeah. Perfect prototype.
Damn. He's a Georgia freaking. He's a freaking Georgia safety.
I think he'll fit in well.
Oh yeah. He's fast too. He recorded an 11.14 second 100 meter dash.
So do you give Zachariah Branch's his downtrend on punt returning again this year as well? On poor coaching, or do you think it was just a conference change that he actually had some competition?
I think it was a combination of both. I don't think they were actually ready. I think this was a really bad time to enter the Big Ten. I think they had to in order to push revenue, but I think it's a really, really rough time.
I think for if we entered the Big Ten with Caleb Williams,
I think it would have screwed Caleb Williams up for the NFL.
I mean, how much worse could he have done than the season that he enter the draft?
Very.
He didn't enter the draft on a fucking...
He could have been Quinn Ewers.
Quinn Ewers is going to be a better quarterback than Shador Sanders.
I'll stop you there. Stop you there. You've been watching football?
Yeah.
Woo.
And Shador Sanders is terrible. I mean, BYU made him look terrible.
That is true.
They shut him out.
I just think it's pretty evident that it was him and Travis Hunter and no one else.
And look, they were arguing on the damn sidelines.
Oh, yeah. Anytime something went wrong, they were flipping out.
It's not them flipping out. Shador throwing his teammates under the bus. Flipping out.
Yeah. My thing with Caleb Williams is if he had been transferred into the Big 12, the Big 10, when that happened, he would be Quinn Ewers. Like, he would have crumbled. Like, he already had a meltdown against pressure as a junior, it would have been so much worse. Like, it could have literally crippled him. Quinn Ewers is borderline an undraftable quarterback, but he has so much talent that he will get drafted at some point. Like, he will be, but it's just he crumbles in every possible conceivable way. And I think you would have just seen that. I don't think Lincoln Riley's offense works at all in the Big Ten. Those teams are built to beat those kind of offenses. And it's not even just like Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. Like, Minnesota can beat that offense. And they did. I think you got to play to what the brand of football is. It is hard, like hard-nosed, physical. And Lincoln Riley's not a physical guy.
Yeah, promoting coach. I mean, we can go through Colorado's schedule real quick.
Oh, no, I don't think. I think you are right. I don't think Shador is a first-round quarterback. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm not arguing that he is. I just think right now he is a way better quarterback than Quinn Ewers. Talent-wise, Quinn Ewers is should be a better quarterback. But Shador is so much farther mentally and in his processing of the game than Ewers is. He's just not as physically gifted.
So we'll put, you know, when Ewers, that game against Alabama,
yeah,
where they said that they didn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
He went into Alabama and whooped their ass.
Yeah.
And that's when the whole Quinn Ewers fan bus started.
His fan bus started when he was a recruit.
But he got
really good. He was the number one overall recruit. His whole thing, like, I've been following Quinn Ewers for forever. His was like his weird high school class. That was right when COVID hit. And so he graduated after his junior year and immediately That was when NIL was starting to become a thing too. Like his whole career path through college football is so fucking weird. Graduates early, decides, hey, fuck it, I'm going to go to Ohio State as their fifth string quarterback. And he gets given a Ferrari, I think, or a Lamborghini, one of the two, to be on all these NIL deals. And he's like, it's not about the money. Because Texas at that time hadn't approved NIL for college students. And then they approve it. And after that season at Ohio State, he transfers back to Texas where he was originally committed. And he's been there ever since. Dude's an idiot.
So who do you think, out of all these quarterbacks coming out, who do you think is going to be the best off?
I don't know. Is none the answer?
I mean, there's going to be one that's going to be decent.
I think Cam Ward's going to turn out like Baker Mayfield.
I think Dylan Gabriel might surprise you. I know you're not high on him.
He's just so small.
So are so all these small. Other quarterbacks.
Cam Ward ain't.
Okay, but we got Drew Brees, Russell Wilson. We got friggin' Young okay. in the league now.
I want you to do a side-by-side of even Drew Brees and Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel is like a buck 80 soaking wet. Russell Wilson was 230 pounds leaving Wisconsin.
Yeah, he's a thick boy.
He was rocked up. And Drew Brees, when he got drafted, he was huge, like thick. He was built to play in the NFL. Dylan Gabriel is not.
Like, Dylan Gabriel is what, 5'11", 200 pounds. He's small.
That's the university saying that. He's way shorter. He ain't 5'11".
Him standing next to a lot of these guys that are tall. He wouldn't have had
six balls batted against Ohio State.
He
doesn't look
as small as what do you think he is.
What?
I mean, so you told me that the other day. He's like really short. And I've kind of been paying attention to him. And him standing next to a couple of these, you know, 6 foot some receivers, he's not looking that much smaller than a lot of these guys.
All their receivers are short. They don't have one receiver over 6 feet. They're all 5'10 or less. Oregon's a weird fucking team, man.
Okay, so he's
small.
He's another Bryce Young.
No, I think Bryce Young was so much better.
5'10", 200 pounds.
Bryce Young weighed in at 200 pounds at the combine after eating peanut butter sandwiches every 30 minutes for 6 weeks. Again, he is going to come in at the combine and weigh over 200 pounds, but he is not over 200 pounds. Even his current measurables are like 10th percentile for NFL quarterbacks.
What about Jackson Dart? How high are you on him?
I think he would be fun with Brian Daboll
or New York
Cohen. Yeah, New York's going to take like Cam Ward or Shador. They're going to take someone like that. But
I think they're going
to Jackson Darts, huh?
I think they're going to get Shador.
I think so too.
6'2", 220.
Jackson Darts, it's hard. Any quarterback out of Ole Miss is very hard. But you watch Jackson Dart play, you're like, holy shit, how did he make that throw? And then there's some that he just ducks the ball right in front of the receiver. And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah,
he looks like Drake May. I know, and he was the best quarterback on their roster when he was a true freshman.
Yep, and he also played on he had something torn in his knee. He was playing on it, and
it was his meniscus?
Washington State. Come from behind, what?
Yeah. I watched that game. He's good. Like, he is super talented. And so here's his big thing that I've heard every draft analyst, everyone talk about. Dude has no fear of being hit. And every single other quarterback, a lot of the quarterbacks in this draft, aside from maybe Cam Ward and a little of Shador, but even Shador is a pansy if he gets rocked once. Mm-hmm. But Jackson Dart, he will get the shit smeared out of him and he pops right back up and will get smeared the very next play and not even get phased. Like, that is his calling card, his toughness and his mental fortitude. Like, I just, Ole Miss doesn't run a viable offense to actually kind of learn about a quarterback. He's just going to be held back because of Ole Miss.
You know, it'd be a good place for him to go. Smart move.
Where?
So I think Atlanta's moving on from Kurt, right? They're supposed to release him.
Yeah, they probably will.
So Penix will be the starter for sure.
I just had a thought.
But, so I see Atlanta drafting him in the later rounds, Jackson Dart, reuniting him with Drake London. Because that game Drake London had one. That was one of his best seasons at USC. It was with Keaton Slovis and Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I think I want him to go to the Rams.
The Rams? That'd be a great place.
Because Stafford's going to be there for a while. You don't need a starter.
You're right.
But he's just such a ball of clay to just mold. For like McVay to just like mold into what he wants. To be a more athletic Stafford. And he arguably has a top five wide receiver. And the duo of him and of Nacua and Kupp, that's a top five duo in the NFL. His offensive line will be essentially what it was at Ole Miss. Just with better receivers. Oh, man, I love that.
I like that, too.
God damn it. You're making me think all these things, man. But honestly, I think Cam Ward is the best shot as a starter in the NFL.
I think his draft stock just dropped.
Yeah, they lost to, did he play in the bowl game?
He played to get his stat, and then he bowed out at halftime, left his teammates hanging.
That's every bowl game. Bo Nix did that for Oregon. So he did it to get
played to get the record, and then got out. And all these people, every analyst, podcast person is out for his neck, calling him out.
See, it's so hypocritical, though, because Bo Nix literally did that for Oregon last year. He played in their bowl game in order to get the most starts of a college quarterback in NCAA history. Gets broken this year by Dylan Gabriel, so it didn't even matter. But he did that. He played for one half and then tapped out so that he could get the official start. And no one ripped him for it. No one cared. He plays more experience than any college quarterback in the history of college football. Like, I don't care.
He went to college for 20 years.
I think tapping out, you hit the record. That's what NFL players do. They tap out for the last week. They don't care. They're looking at the future. He knows what his draft stock is. That's why Marvin Harrison didn't like do anything during his draft process. Because he knew he was a top five pick already.
I agree with that in some kind of sense.
I think it's real. It ruins your relationship with your teammates, like you said.
Well, yeah, it's a family that you went to bat with. These are your brothers and blood, sweat, you know, everything. And you kind of just shit on them and then they lose. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't want to go out a loser. Like I said, legacy is dead in college football. People don't give a fuck about legacy.
No, they want to get paid. Anymore. Not anymore. I agree with you. But I'm excited for this night. I think Oregon showed that they are not Ohio State, Georgia level yet. They are the step just below that.
They were exposed.
I think they're the step just below that as, I mean, it just showed they just have a talent gap between them and Ohio State. I think their transfer portal class is fantastic.
Is it? Who are they getting? How many returning starters do they have?
I forget how many returning starters for their class. They just signed. They're looking at a top 10 recruiting class right now. They got arguably the second best safety in college football to transfer over. And he immediately fixes their secondary. I mean, they're snatching the best that is in the portal.
Oregon's always going to be a competing school.
I was talking to you earlier off camera about their new quarterback this next year. Dante Moore. That's who it is. Dante Moore. You've seen him. He played at UCLA as a true freshman.
Did he suck?
No, he was actually pretty good. Team's bad. He was at UCLA. What do you expect? But he was the number two quarterback in his recruiting class behind Malachi Nelson. And then started for UCLA. Chip Kelly's like, deuces, I'm out. I'm going to Ohio State. And he transferred to Oregon and was Dylan Gabriel's backup this year. And he's set to take the starting job.
Damn, Oregon only has four returning starters committed to their 2025 recruiting class.
Yeah. Returning starters, like already on the roster? Because I know they're losing two receivers and a lot of guys. They're losing two receivers, both tackles, and Derek Harmon, Dylan Gabriel, obviously.
Who's that quarterback you said that's coming from UCLA?
Well, he's already on the roster. It's Dante Moore.
So, Akili Smith Jr., is he on the roster as well?
Yes.
So, they have Akili Smith, Receivers, Adrian Wilson, Dallas Wilson, and offensive lineman, Chavis Thompson.
Per CBS Sports, Dante Moore is set to be the heir to Dalen Gabriel. He's 6'3", 220 pounds. Geese. He is the NFL quarterback for Oregon. He's good. I'm excited to see him go there. Anyway, this has kind of been a weird episode, Ricky.
We jumped a little bit, but it's all good. Happens.
Yeah, we'll do a rant today. We're working on a more up-to-date schedule, and we'll be posting regularly from now on, guys. I mean, thank you for all your patience.
Happy New Year, everybody. Yeah. We're kind of just stretching our feet and getting back into this thing.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. Again, please show us some support by rating, commenting, subscribing, and sharing. Follow us on social media on TikTok at Tailgate Sports Podcast and Instagram at Tailgate Sports Podcast 24. Anything else, Ricky?
We can go over the games for the next round real quick before we exit. Yeah, we kind of jumped around a little bit, like you said.
College football playoff. You got Ohio State versus Texas, and you have Notre Dame versus Penn State.
So, what do you think?
Who are your picks?
I got Ohio State moving on, and Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
I think Penn State's an imposter, and I think, like you said, Texas doesn't deserve to be, or doesn't. I'm not gonna say they don't deserve to be there.
But yeah.
They're just another imposter in my eyes as well. They got exposed these last two games.
I think Ohio State smokes them. I don't think it's even a competitive game. And Notre Dame, Penn State, seeing the best quarterback, and I'm going with the better quarterback, and Drew Aller's the better quarterback. Their defenses are roughly the same in my eyes. I'm just going with the better quarterback. I think it's close. I don't think it's an outright Penn State win. I think, like you said, it could be Notre Dame. But either way, I think Ohio State wins the national championship.
So you think it's going to be a Big Ten championship?
Yeah.
What it should have been? I
mean, yeah, I think if Penn State goes to the national championship out of Notre Dame, Penn State, I think Penn State has a chance to beat Ohio State just because they're not afraid. I think Notre Dame is going to show up afraid against Ohio State, especially if they boat race Texas.
Oh, no, Notre Dame, they shouldn't have been afraid of Georgia.
Georgia was out there starting quarterback.
Oh, that's true. But do you think it would have
I would not be afraid of Georgia after that.
Do you think Carson Beck would have made that big of a difference?
I think he would have. He's not great, but I think he would have made a big difference.
Okay, so the score would have been 23-14. Notre Dame. I'll give you that.
All right, let's get out of here. We'll leave with that.